Good morning, everybody. Thank you for staying, those that did. I want to welcome also those people who are joining us online, live streaming now or perhaps later in the week, and hope that you're edified by doing that, and hope that everybody here is also edified that's here. Hey, Mom. She'll watch later. There's a button up here that I'm supposed to do, and I'm completely untrained. Yeah. Oh, somebody put my name up there. Y'all know the song? We shall not sing it. But it's tempting. It's tempting. But obviously our lesson this morning is about taming the tongue, or the words that we use, and all things thereof. And the Bible is full of scripture concerning this subject. We're not going to get into all of them. But let's start with a preacher story. Now, I happen to know, because of certain things that have been said in previous lessons over the last few weeks, that some people's trigger is traffic. Yeah, my personal traffic thing is not using the direction indicators. Which way are we going to go? Yeah, but and driving a car can bring out the worst in Christians sometimes. I heard a story about a stressed out woman who was in a hurry, who was tailgating a slow driver. That was probably me. My grandchildren say I drive like a grandpa. As they approached the traffic light, the light turned yellow. So the man in front of her slowed down and stopped as it turned red, rather than trying to accelerate through the intersection. The tailgating woman was furious. She hit the horn, screaming in frustration that she now would have to wait at the red light. As she was in the middle of her rant, the woman heard a tap at her window and looked up into the face of a police officer. Dun, dun, dun. He ordered her out of the car with her hands up, and then he took her to the police station where she was searched, fingerprinted, photographed, and put in a cell. After a couple hours, a guard approached the jail cell, opened the door, and she was escorting back to the desk where the arresting officer was waiting with her personal belongings. He said, "I'm very sorry for the mistake. You see, I pulled up behind your car while you were blowing the horn, waving an obscene gesture to the guy in front of you and cursing a blue streak. Did you know that people can read certain words by seeing your lips? I noticed the 'What Would Jesus Do?' bumper sticker and the 'Follow Me to Church' bumper sticker and the Christian fish symbol on the trunk, and naturally I assumed you'd stolen the car." So, if you've heard that before, thanks for laughing. That's one reason, perhaps, that there's no identifying marks on the back of my vehicles. Not really. Words are powerful. We all know the great power of words is very great. And there's much written in the Bible, as I've already said, about how our words can be used, unfortunately, for evil. But when we take a look at what Jesus told us, we also find the key to making sure that our words are only used to bless. I think we all, intellectually, don't we, know that our words are very powerful? We have to be aware of the power of words and how they affect others that are around us and how they affect ourselves, even. Words affect our relationships with people, and words affect our relationship to God as well. That's a really important part of considering what we say. You see, actually, if you read through the Bible, there are very many verses that have to do with our words and our thoughts, which is our inner words. And so it's a really important topic. Oh boy, I hope that's bigger Oh, yeah, some of you can read at least the words. The scriptures, now I'm going to have a hard time doing this because this on my printout is very, very small, and that's not super big. That's readable. But I want you to read aloud with me if you're okay with doing that. I'm not going to chastise anybody for not reading, but read aloud the blue parts and read along silently on the black parts, and if you're comfortable in doing that. Let's read together. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships, although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and it boasts great things. See how great a forest. Good. Thank you for doing that. We'll do that throughout the lesson this morning, and I'll remind you, but if you see blue, say it with me if you're comfortable doing that. Women, I give you permission to speak. That's part of the extemporaneous stuff that comes out of my mouth when I never know what's going to come out of my mouth. So, this verse illustrates how much effect our words can have around us. It's not just the words themselves, it's the that sets something in motion. There's a process that starts and affects our surroundings in ways of which we might not have even thought. How often has something someone said to you, probably something that they said in passing, without even really thinking about it, that has stayed with you for years and years? I'm letting you think. I think we've all experienced that, and we all know what that's like. So we know how important words are and what they can do. But the thing is, there's two ways in which we can use our words. It would help if I pressed the correct button. Let's read again. Out of the same mouth proceed, and my brethren. We are all brethren, correct? And so he's talking to us. If we read further in James, he talks about how the same mouth can proceed blessing and cursing, and so these things ought not to be. That's in James 10, as we just read. So the tongue can actually be used in two ways. It can be used in a way for evil, but it can also be used for good. The effect that has when it's used for evil, it can actually have the same effect when it's used for good. It can have the same effect of spreading and speaking words of hope and faith that can stay with someone for years and years. Hope and faith for years and years. Not just something that hurt our feelings like, oh my, your feet are really big. So then, it comes down to learning to use our tongues for the good instead of for evil. It's good also to consider, like it says in verse 5, which we don't have up here, well, but we did a minute ago, that words are compared to a forest fire, and it spreads. And whether it's good or bad, it has this effect. Good words have that effect, it spreads. Bad words have that effect, it spreads. And so think about that consciously. You know, what am I saying? And what effect do I have? Is it good or bad? Read with me again from 2 Timothy 2. And you can certainly pull out your own sword and read this. So we're reading from the New King James Version, only because I just decided to do that. Let's read aloud. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like cancer. This is obviously a very negative thing. He says they will increase to what? More ungodliness. And so profane and idle babbling is ungodly talk, irreverent and disrespectful. Talk that tears down rather than building up, and it spreads like cancer or gangrene, if you're following along in some other translations. James says, James refers to the kindling starting a forest fire, the tongue starting a forest fire, it is like that. Thoughts start building up, and they can insidiously spread like cancer or gangrene does in our bodies. Ephesians 5, verse 3 and 4, let's read this, the blue parts at least. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather the giving of thanks. Paul talks about what's fitting for the saints. There's something that's fitting and appropriate, and that is what? Giving of thanks. We read it aloud. And there's things that are not appropriate. Filthiness, foolish talking, coarse jesting. And we may think that it's okay, it's not that serious, it's just a joke. But does it? What does it do? Does it build us up? Or does it build the listener up, whoever's hearing your words? It creates thoughts and feelings that really don't belong to someone who's living for God. Psalm 120. Verse 2, deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from deceitful tongue. Now, if you read the context of this psalm, David's asking for deliverance from somebody else's lying lips and tongue. But the point is that words that are deceitful and misleading are not appropriate. The psalmist, I assume David, cried to the Lord to be delivered from lying lips. And we too should not be deceitful in our speech or align ourselves with those who lie or are lying. James 4:16. Let's read the blue parts. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So another thing that's not beneficial, boasting is evil. Boasting is not fitting, it's not appropriate. Boasting commonly includes tearing down of others, perhaps through being condescending or critical of them. James continues to him later, that's not up here, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. James 5:9. Let's read aloud together. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. So there's many different things. Foolish talking, coarse jesting, profane and idle babblings, anger, filthy language, lying, boasting, and what's this say? Grumbling. All these negative words that tear down, they don't edify or build up anybody. They create trouble. They create unrest. And it's, as James writes in chapter 3 that we've already read, but we didn't read aloud this part, but Scott read it for us earlier. It says that in verse 6, it says that that comes straight from hell. Satan is behind that when we speak in these manners. But when we read what we read from the beginning, from James chapter 3, it says, we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man. Now that's quite a statement, and almost as scary as the first verse, which we're not considering right now, but Scott read. So what's he saying here? Is it impossible to be free of our tongue? Wrong button again. Ecclesiastes 3:7, the first part. Let's all read this together. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. And once again, a song comes to mind, but we will not sing that one either. Maybe my words are not deceitful or lies. Perhaps they are true words. The writer of Ecclesiastes, traditionally Solomon, gives this bit of wisdom. Time, which we can think of as perhaps being a function, think of the context of what we say, where we say it, when we say it, as being maybe a function of time. There's a time to keep silent, and there's a time to speak. Maybe it's a function of location. Is it appropriate to offer these words in this particular location to this particular audience? Just things to think about, and perhaps I'm stretching a little. It comes to mind, we have colloquialisms. Did I say that word correctly? I'm kind of close. Tongue-tied a little. For instance, and we've all heard this, and we've probably all uttered it, you know, if you're in Texas, we say, bless your heart, right? I know I've said it, and I know people say it, but, and we're familiar with that here in Texas and in the South. The context of when we say it and the inflection in a conversation can mean the difference between it's just a friendly phrase and or it's a barb, so to speak. So that's what I'm meaning by what we do there. There's a time and a place. And so I'm not saying erase that one from your vocabulary, because the words bless your heart are completely awesome. But sometimes we can say things that are true and righteous and good in such a way that it's not, perhaps. So, as Christians, we don't want to be causing harm, right? We don't want to spread evil. We want or use our tongues in this way. We want to be able to bless others, to encourage others, and to build them up. We want to use our tongue and our whole body for righteousness. And that's what we want as Christians. But in a way, when we might be tempted to be discouraged when we consider, as James says, for example, that no man can tame his tongue. What am I supposed to do? If I can't tame it, what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to muzzle my mouth? Should I say? Or should I go? Or should we just try not to let evil things out? Let's consider this a little bit. Let's read in Matthew 12, 34 through 35. Read the blue parts with me, okay? Follow along. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. Jesus says that what the mouth says has a source. And that source is my heart. That's what's on the inside. So we're not talking about trying to tame the tongue. We're talking about the very source of our words and our thoughts as well. Let's continue reading. In Matthew 23:26, we'll read all of it. It's in blue. First, cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, then the outside then may be clean also. These also are words of Jesus. I probably should have put them in red, right? Maybe we don't need to try and muzzle our tongue or mouth or muzzle what the words are as much as we need to work on what the inside. And if the inside is good, then it's good that should come out. And then I can use my tongue to bless and build up if I'm cleansing the inside of the cup, like he says here. And so, like, if thoughts about a certain person come up and thoughts that they're doing this and this, and it leads to the temptation to backbite or gossip about them, and those are things we haven't really mentioned specifically, but those are synonyms and ungodly talk, wouldn't you agree? And we're telling ourselves, I don't want to say this. If that's what's in the inside, that's going to come out. And so we work on the inside so that there's not even an in temptation to have an ungodly thought come out. We'll probably mess up, but that's okay because we're working on the inside. Not that it's okay to mess up, but you know what I mean, right? And so we work on ourselves to be a new creation where there was a tendency towards evil thoughts, suspicions, grumbling, boasting, all those things that we read about earlier. When we fight against that, through God's strength, we can overcome that. And then God can create something new in us. Instead of boasting, it's words perhaps of grace and mercy. Words of blessing instead of angry words. Instead of grumbling, it's thankfulness. Work on the heart, and that's what will start coming out. Wrong button again. This is all blue. Philippians 4:8. Read with me. Let me get my eyes focused. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Sometimes I think the word meditation has a negative connotation to us because we see other people that aren't Christians refer to meditation as something different. But all it means is to think about something, to contemplate. It takes conscious... Did I just go dead? Check. Okay. Now mom can hear. Anybody else that watches? And you. I was saying that it's a conscious, that's a little loud. It's a conscious work for me to focus my mind on good. If I focus my mind in the Word of God and spend time there, and fill myself with the Spirit that's in the Word, that's how we can accomplish this. Thank you, Josh. Romans 7, verse 19. Read the blue parts with me. For the good that I will to do, but do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. It's not easy. We're going to stumble and fall. But he goes on to say, be in prayer and thanksgiving to God later in the chapter. Be in prayer and thanksgiving to God. And when I receive that help, deny the thoughts and overcome them. eventually it'll become natural for the good to start to grow and to come out of my words and my actions. In my actions also. Romans 7, verse 24 and 25. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the I myself serve the law of God, but with the law of sin. And so then we study and pray to fill ourselves, our minds with goodness, which is part of the law of God. And we battle against the flesh, which is the law of sin. Let's read in Psalms 1, Psalm 1, verse 2 and 3. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. We learn there to meditate. Proverbs 31, 26. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. Now, even though the context of this is about a woman, I need to make this my goal. That when I open my mouth, it's with wisdom and kindness, that my words don't cause pain, that they don't bring down the spirit of those around me, that they don't make it so that other people are uncomfortable to be around me, that my words can be a blessing wherever I go. And then two, you can also be the kind of person that changes the conversation. If you're in a place where maybe there's a complaining tone to what's going on around you, for example, people are complaining about something, you could be the person. I can be the person that with my words can turn, like James talked about the little rudder that turns the mighty boat, the much larger boat. Maybe I can be the force that turns the conversation, regardless of what it is, if it's complaining or backbiting or grumbling or anything that's negative. And so we make a negative a positive. Let's read this scripture together. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. We've already read that. If we work on our hearts and therefore what comes out of our mouths, then those same inspired words of James that we just read, read them again with me. See how great a forest a little kindles. Eyes don't focus so good. It doesn't have to be a negative thing. It could be the opposite, just like fire spreads rapidly, and it's generally not good if it's in the forest. If it's the fire of blessing and positivity and praise, that's what's fitting for a Christian to spread. Let's read Psalm 19 and verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. You led a song about redemption this morning. How many of you remember the chant that was in some of our old hymnals, the great songs, perhaps? Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. It's the first song I've sung, right? Be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Sing that with me.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And an amen. Amen. It's one of those things I don't know was going to come out of my mouth. But if I have a relationship to God, He's my strength, He's my redeemer, He's the one I want to love above all else, and then I want my words to be acceptable in His sight, that they please Him, that the meditations of my heart be acceptable in His sight. And then my words, because my heart becomes affected by study and meditation, become blessings. And we're not just thinking about words either. We're, at least I'm not. Let's consider a little bit of this. It's not just the physical words that we say with our tongue and our lips. It's got to do with our thoughts. Consider, for example, things we might share on social media. I've done that. Maybe we haven't said it ourselves, but if we share it, we're still saying it, right? This is something that we're giving to other people, and it can be the... and so, you know, obviously, I hope. Also, it can be the way that we look with our eyes. You know, we don't just communicate with our words. Our eyes can say a lot. Our body language can say a lot. It's all the parts of our communication. And if I've stretched the scripture too far there, you can tell me about that later. But I think that's also important. It's all the parts of our communication, I think, that we're talking about. And so my communications in general should be pure and with grace and be acceptable in His sight. Be what? Acceptable in His sight. Should I say or should I go? I almost sung it. Let's work on our hearts in prayer and study and meditation on God's word. Let's work on our thoughts so that they may be good and wholesome thoughts. Let's filter our thoughts by asking the question, is this acceptable in God's sight? And let's recognize that we're not perfect, but we are made perfect. Philippians 3:12. Read the blue part with me when we get there. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Christ has made us His own. We are not perfect, but we're made perfect in Him. For by one offering He has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. That's Hebrews 10:14. I'll read it again. Scripture. For by one offering He has been perfected. For by one offering He has perfected how long? Forever. Those who are being sanctified. And in verse 17, he adds this. Their sins and lawless deeds I will remember no more. That's in Hebrews. And so, John, you ready? That's the lesson. Let's all make a commitment, especially me, to work on our tongues. If you want to make your commitment publicly, we're here to pray with you. And if you're not yet in Christ and wish to be baptized into him, we're ready to help you there. Just a minute, let me check. I can't see over there. I think we can be ready. We're ready to help you. The invitation is yours. And now, at all times, the invitation is open. At all times, the invitation is open. Don't wait till next Sunday if you need to put your Lord on. Let's all stand and sing.